Oh, hi there, everybody. Welcome to another Highfalutin Ski Bum podcast. Yes, we've been away for a few weeks, and we know you've missed us, so we're sorry that we've been gone for a bit. But thank you so much for sticking with us and listening again. We are back. Mario and Brian, together, again. Mario, what is up?
What?
Yeah, it's been a tumultuous last couple weeks. Really, but not really. You know what? It's just been, I gotta tell you, it's been seasonal depression. Most people have it happen in wintertime, but I get it big time in the spring. No joke.
I'm not depressed right now. I'm just pissed off. I'm pissed off because I want to ski.
I'm pissed and depressed.
I'm pissed because I'm working too much that I can't go out and ski, and I'm too much of a pussy to quit my job.
He works hard for the money.
That's what I'm mad at. I'm mad at myself, and I'm mad at the fact that goddamn El Nino kept the snow from coming the whole season here.
Yeah, we got kind of the rub this year. We got the short end of the stick, as they say, while all of our friends out west had an epic season. And we had a great week out in Jackson, so this whole podcast, we're calling it Is It Over? Because, frankly, on the East Coast, it's pretty over. But we're still going to fight, and we're still going to talk about the year that we had. It's been over a year now since we've been doing the podcast, so we want to do a little recap and talk about the things that we've done, the positive things, the happy things, the fun things, and see where we're going to go into the future.
Yeah, the little fits of desperation out going out in the East Coast ski world.
Big time. Big time.
And we'll talk about some of those.
We sure will. But first...
Oh, yeah. You know what time that is. It's time for the weekly flavor.
It certainly is.
Weekly flavor. What you got there, Brian?
Well, since we are doing a recap, we'll recap one of our favorite beers and from one of our favorite weeks, our beer journey up to the great white-ish Vermont back in December. I am drinking a delicious and beer advocate rated 100 from the Alchemist Brewery in Waterbury, Vermont, a Heady Topper.
Boom. You're dropping that.
And it's funny, we were just talking about it before. When we started the podcast a year ago, Heady Topper was like the holy grail. Like, yeah. Oh my God, maybe we'll get some Heady Topper.
White whale, the Mopey Dick.
The Mopey Dick. It was the Mopey Dick.
The Dick of Mopey.
Now I've got half a case sitting in my father-in-law's garage because we just bought so much of it. We just have so much. So much.
My Heady Topper burns a hole in my mind because I know it's in the fridge and I'm like, I'm just waiting. I want to drink through it so that it's not there and then it becomes rare again.
Got to push through.
But I remember how bitter I was. I was so mad. Every podcast, if you go podcast like one through
we talked about it every single
20,
one.
20, every one I was pissed off.
Yeah. Just,
I would go rant and rage. Not anymore.
Remember that? What was the one from Yards that was like, oh, well, this is like a Heady Topper. It's almost the same. Yeah. And we're like, this is like the same or better, bro. Something about like the ocean.
It was pretty good though.
It was very good. But now it's like, that's just like a default now.
Yeah, we got to get back to the, we got to get back to the grassroots.
We've gotten fancy this year.
Yeah, we got a little too fancy. We took it.
Can you ever get too fancy?
No, not really.
Do we have $50,000 skis yet?
You can't get fancy. Yeah, that's right.
If you don't have $50,000 skis yet, there are still levels to achieve to unlock of fanciness.
Solid gold. You get an iPhone to match your solid gold skis.
Solid gold skis.
Get the gold iPhone with the gold skis. You'd be baller.
Yeah, Goldie.
Oh, we saw that guy with the jacket.
Yeah,
the
gold Goldie.
You have the gold jacket.
Gold helmet.
Gold finger.
Yeah, gold member.
Gold member, that's right.
So what do you got over there?
I have Lawson's Finest Liquids, Sip of Sunshine, the counterpart to the, it's the yin to the yang of the Heady Topper. It's the Sip of Sunshine IPA, also rated 100 on Beer Advocate. This one is a lupin-laden Indian pale ale, juicy tropical fruit character, bright floral aromas, and delicate layers of hop flavor. Very similar to the Heady Topper, but a little on the sweeter side. It's that sunshine that's a little sweeter.
Little bits of sunshine in there.
Little bits of, like Skittles. Like a little bit of Skittles.
That is a really tasty beer. Both of these beers are just out of this world.
Yeah, and you know, I was talking to somebody the other day about this, because we were, drinking a few IPAs, and they were saying, they're not big IPA people and stuff. And I said, well, if you ever try Heady Topper or Sip of Sunshine, I said, those are two hard ones to get. Of course, I got to mention, that I got a fridge full of it.
because that's how I roll.
That's how I roll, baby. I was pouring some out on the floor when I was talking to them.
Clean my gators with Sip of Sunshine.
It's like that phone commercial with Lil Wayne. Yeah. He's like pouring the champagne on his phone. But I was telling him it's unique to drink one of these because it's very hoppy, but it's not that bitter, acidy hoppy that you get from a lot of other beers. So a lot of people, I think, would like this that don't like IPAs, though. So.
Yeah, if you get a bad, skunked up IPA, it is a horrible experience.
It's
because there's a lot of bad IPAs out there.
I could almost equate it to smoking a bad cigar, where it's like just like burnt rubber,
yeah.
And then you just taste it like it's nasty. Whereas you smoke a nice Cuban cigar, or you have a nice Sip of Sunshine or Heady Topper at your local supermarket up in the
at
Waterbury,
Mehurin's and Waitsfield, Vermont.
Now at
Mehurin's. Yeah, I was never a big IPA guy either until, you know, a couple of years back when Andrew and I went up to do the Heady Topper, the Alchemist Brewery when it was still open, and tried it there on draft. And I was like, this is unbelievable. Like, I love this beer.
Yeah.
And now I'm just an IPA. I'm a hop head. Can't get enough of it.
Like the hoppiness. I always like the hop. I just didn't like the bad, acidy, kind of bittery.
I think they've gotten better. Like, most breweries now have gotten better at making IPAs. You know, they just they're more consistently good than they used to be.
Yeah. And some of them are more mellow, and, like, so they're not as hoppy, but they got good flavor. So, it's nice to see.
Yeah, there's one we were looking at before. Treehouse Brewery up in Massachusetts has their Julius IPA, which has recently been brought to our attention, which is supposed to be the new hotness now.
Nice.
So hopefully this summer we can make a little journey up there and get some of that.
They make an orange one too, right?
Yes. The Orange Julius IPA. They make it into a delicious treat, like an ice cream. Like a smoothie. Beer smoothies.
Beer smoothies.
Why is no one doing this?
Orange beer smoothies.
We'll open it. We'll have it at Slaughterhouse.
Fanta flavored beer.
That's gross. That's just
or Fanta as the
you lost me now. I'm not on board anymore.
I used to hate that commercial.
I was on board.
Don't you want a Fanta? I used to want to just strangle
Fanta,
all of them.
Don't you want to? Fanta,
they were hot ass girls dancing, but I still want to strangle them all because that song was just so annoying.
Well, grape soda is so delicious.
Grape soda.
Grape soda monthly.
Orange Crust weekly.
Orange weekly.
Orange soda weekly.
Yeah. All right. With that,
you know what time it is now?
What time is it now?
It is time for. With ski news.
It is definitely ski news time.
That's a little backcountry ski news right there.
That is backcountry music. So, all right, first up. So we're just going to get a little recap here. Resort closures. Wah, wah. So two of our favorites, Telluride and Jackson Hole, have closed this past weekend. Not for lack of snow, not for lack of people wanting to get out there, just because they are located in national parks, and that's the law that the state park or the national park dictates. And they got to close up shop.
Boot packing right up to Corbett's right now.
That's what you can do.
Nobody else is there.
That's what you can do.
You do it in the middle of the night.
Who can stop you?
Midnight Corbett's run.
Get one of those helmet lights.
Oh, and the little flares, you just throw them out.
Yeah.
Just right down.
And one story that's kind of the opposite of that is that two resorts in Maine on the East Coast here, Sugarloaf and Sunday River, have announced they're blowing snow again. They started on Sunday, and they blew, we're recording this on Tuesday, they blew snow Sunday and Monday because the temperatures are freezing again down there, or up there. They're
it's
down
freezing here. It's like high today was like, what, 36?
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty cold.
If that, yeah. So, you know, other places out west which have tons of snow are closing, and here on the East Coast.
We're just getting started.
It's still
Snowmageddon.
Early. It's still early, right?
It could be this way the entire summer.
Yeah, it's quite possible.
Imagine that.
Yeah, they've announced. So, yeah, this was on Snowbrains that, yeah, Sugarloaf announced they're blowing snow and Sunday River. It's the latest they've ever blown snow in this season. But they're just like, hey, it's cold. Season sucked. We got to do something. Let's blow some snow and see what happens. See how long we can make it last.
Blowing Jon Snow.
Blowing Jon.
That's going to happen in a few weeks. Game of Thrones.
It's quite possible, yes. Yeah. So they have 34 of 160 trails open at Sugarloaf. But they're blowing snow, so pushing that season.
That one run is going to be open till end of April.
It's quite possible. So.
Wow.
All right.
Next up. We had a lot of April Fool's stories that went on. I personally love the Google,
The cardboard, the plastic cardboard?
Google plastic cardboard was awesome. Look that up on YouTube. It's great. They did a whole little commercial for it. It was an April Fool's joke.
So Google cardboard is actually like a virtual reality tool, isn't it?
Isn't that the one where you put your phone in?
Yeah, the VR.
The VR, and it's just a cardboard thing that holds your phone in front of your face.
Right, that's the actual Google Cardboard, the real product.
Right, and then they did the clear plastic cardboard or whatever, and that was the spoof commercial, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah, and I'm going to ruin it for you right now. It's pretty much just real life.
Yeah.
It's just a plastic, almost like a little, apparatus you put in your face so you can see real life. So it's like 360-degree view.
Yeah, that's right. Surround sound.
Surround sound, yeah.
It's great. But another April Fool joke that was put out there was U.S. government was going to invest $1.5 billion in Banff National Park.
How much?
$1.5 billion.
Billion with a B.
Now, the best part of this is if you don't know your geography too well, you're like, oh, that's great. You know, they're going to, you know, U.S. is going to invest in one of the ski areas. Well, Banff is in Canada. So for the government to invest in Canada, that starts the little bit of a fool joke. And then the rest of it, they got a little creative with the article. It was pretty interesting.
Well, it's funny because the article says, yeah, they're going to build a chairlift from each state going to Banff National Park.
That's where you know it's a spoof, yeah.
It's pretty funny. I'm like, oh, wow, it's kind of cool. You know, it'll be easy to get there. And like, oh, I've been fooled. I'm dumb. But the video is pretty funny because it's the most Canadian video ever.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, there's a little Canadian welcome kit A, and it comes with a toque and a hockey stick.
And then Brian said, too, you looked up the prime minister was a...
Justin Trudeau.
He was a snowboard instructor, right?
He was a snowboard instructor. He's doing what he can to get lead legalized.
Lead legalized. Well, because we can't say it by the last time the cop spoke to us on the show, so we...
Allegedly. Also known as we legalized.
That's right. we're talking about... Yeah. That's funny. All right, what else we got? We got a good one.
So this is a really good story.
And you got a personal friend that's
attached to this. My boy Nick, give him a shout out here. This is his hood. So Wolf Creek is one step closer to expanding its expert terrain. And now, you know, based on our trip to Jackson Hole, we had an awesome time. And one of our favorite things we did, we were able to do some backcountry skiing, which we really hadn't done before. So I know me, I fell in love with it because I love hiking, I love skiing, and putting the two together was just out of this world. And I've been obsessed with buying gear and getting new skis and boots and everything after.
You got to have more stuff. That's what it is.
Just got to have more stuff.
More gear, more trinkets.
So I found this story particularly awesome. So what they're talking about down in Wolf Creek is this plan to expand the ski area. And now a lot of places, you know, whenever you hear about ski expansion, it's always, oh, we're going to put condos on the mountain. We're going to get some upscale eateries, you know, that kind of, you know, kind of crap that they've been doing a lot of, you know, getting more money into the area. Yeah. So Wolf Creek has a very different plan. What they're looking to do is they are looking to add 1,000 acres of new skiing, which is 250 of groomed intermediate and 750 of expert steeps called the Matchless Pod. And now all this is in the Rio Grande National Forest. So, again, this may fall into the same categorization as Jackson Hole and Telluride, where they're stuck, you know, with a specific date they have to close. Add a new lift. But this is the coolest thing. So in the Matchless Pod, they don't have to cut anything down. Everything already exists. It's just a matter of kind of cutting the making formal trails out of the terrain. And it's going to also require an additional lift ticket that assures that riders have the appropriate avalanche gear.
Nice.
How cool is that?
That was a big problem when we were in Jackson. They said people more and more are saying, well, I'm not going to fall into any trouble. I'm going to go out without a helmet, without the proper gear, alone, like just do stupid stuff. And people get killed all the time.
Stupid, stupid, stupid.
Yeah. So this is a great idea to do that because it kind of, although it takes, theoretically, some of the freedom out of backcountry that you could just go backcountry, but it makes it safe.
It'll keep you alive.
Yeah, and you know what? They don't want to go look for people either. I mean,
no way.
You know, it's kind of... But I like the way they've expanded that, where they're going to expand it, because, like you said, it's like they're expanding all the stuff you want to get to, not expanding it to bring all the shit you left to the mountain.
You're not putting Jersey on the mountain.
Right,
which
is
great.
What they usually do. Let's build more condos and... you know, shops and bring more people in, and that's what you're looking to get away from. So
yeah. And they also want to add another lift. And one of the things they said, they do not want to host summer activities because a lot of the mountains now, I mean, we talked about, you know, Sean White investing in Mammoth a few episodes ago, And one of the big things they want to push is do more things in the summertime.
Yeah.
Festivals, you know, music shows, all that stuff in the summertime. They want the opposite of that.
Well, the reason they have to do it a lot of times is because they built so much infrastructure, you can't support it with just a winter season. So now you got to bring, you know, revenue in the summer, because you, especially with condos, you've built condos, people bought the condos, and now they want to be able to rent them out and do stuff. Otherwise, they're going to be stuck for the winter only, you know?
Yeah, and this is a really cool recap here. So it says, instead of focusing on real estate and over-the-top luxury amenities like on-mountain restaurants, Wolf Creek is all about skiing. The bulk of the new expansion is into expert terrain that will only be used by a small portion of the skiing population. But that's what Wolf Creek wants, to serve as a destination for people who are all about skiing and snowboarding.
I don't know if I'd go there if they don't have Cookies on the Mountain and a ski valet. I mean, that pisses me off. That's
where
what skiing's
is the
about.
Where's the waffle cabin?
Exactly. That's what skiing's about, right?
Yeah. And you know what? If they don't make their own brioche in the mountain, fuck it. I'm not going.
It's unacceptable. I can't be there.
Yeah. So I've been...
I like that.
Nick's been trying to get me out there forever, and I'm going to have to get out there very, very soon. After he sent this to me, I started looking up real estate there, like looking at how much it costs. Nothing is there on the mountain. Like I said, it's in the national forest, so they can't build anything around it.
Right.
The town is Pagosa Springs. It's about 20 minutes away. Dude, you can get some stuff really cheap.
I have to look into that.
I found a dope-ass house, like a 4-5-bedroom, 2.5-bath, like new, nice house. $469
Yeah, everybody listen to this podcast and be like, I'm going on Zillow right now, buying a bitch.
And if you want to invite us, skibumpodcast@gmail.com.
We just want a place to stay.
I totally forgot to mention all of our web presences before during the podcast.
Mention them now.
See, we're out of practice for a week or so. This is what happens. Seasonal depression kicks in.
How would people get to us, Brian?
You know the drill. SkiBumPodcast.com. We got Facebook, Facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast. We got the Twitter, Twitter.com/SkiBumPodcast. The Grammy, Instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast. Or you can just send us an email the old-fashioned way, SkiBumPodcast@gmail.com.
Dude, I'm going to get a MySpace page for us, too.
MySpace.com.
I think I can swing that. We might be able to get one.
We'll get a Friendster page, Friendster.com/SkiBumPodcast. We'll get a GeoCities website, GeoCities.com/SkiBumPodcast.
GeoCities, baby.
Everything/SkiBumPodcast.
I'm going to do that right after this show. GeoCities.
Make it happen. Snapchat.com/SkiBumPodcast. That's coming. Periscope.com/SkiBumPodcast. We do it all.
Anything.
We don't care.
SkiBumPodcast.
We don't give a goddamn.
That's right.
All right. Wolf Creek. Dope. Let's go.
Dope. All right, so believe it, Tanner Hall is in the New Yorker. So New Yorker did a story on Tanner Hall, and they usually don't do a lot of stories like this, but they kind of, you know, he's a famous stoner, world's most wholehearted embracer of the caps lock function when he is doing his social media. But I guess, you know, they were covering him, and he talks about his career-long dependence on weed to lighten his mood and calm his nerves. So... they wanted to interview him, I guess, just to shed light on, here's a guy, he won 11 X Games medals, he's very successful, very well known, has a whole career for himself, and he's, you know, self-proclaimed, you know, dependent on weed. So they
Tanner Hall is one of my favorite people. He's just, you know, because he's just very honest about the way he feels about, you know, pot, and he talks about it, he's like, hey, you know what, it's not for everybody, but for me... It is for me, and I love it, and it's helped my career.
I think if you talk to a lot of athletes that either enjoy weed or would like to enjoy weed, they're all for it, because as an athlete, when you hurt yourself, rather than take your opiate painkillers, it's so much of a better painkiller for you. It doesn't harm your body as much.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's cool, too. This article talks about how he's being sponsored by Black Rock Originals.
Boom.
Which is a weed company. I think they, I don't know if they actually have, make or sell weed themselves or just the accoutrements, but they have a whole thing. They're trying to be the anti-stoner cannabis company, and they promote, they have a whole series of videos online showing active and athletic people using cannabis with the hashtag I am not lazy.
Nice.
Dude, Joe Rogan, one of the biggest stoners ever, is also one of the most busy, active, successful, athletic people out there right now. You know? There are, and I'm sure, I mean, they say like, I think 90% of the NBA smokes weed. It was part of their collective bargaining agreement. They wouldn't get tested for it.
Yeah. So if you look on their site, they have a whole Ski Boss collection. And it's like they have little holders. They have rolling paper. They have lighters. So it's the Tanner Hall pro model of line of stuff. Pretty interesting.
That's funny. And then you mentioned Dakine, which is one of the companies that sponsors Tanner, has a Tanner Hall collection, which is, you know, THC. It's kind of funny.
So the Ski Boss collection, they have a whole little kit. Mm-hmm. Everything you need to roll a joint on the go. So it has a safety case, which everything fits inside. And it solves the challenges of preparing a joint carrying case. So whether you're on top of the mountain or chasing the next storm, you'll always have your grinder, papers, and lighter, each emblazoned with Tanner's signature Ski Boss.
That's fantastic.
That's pretty wild stuff.
I like, too, they have the one called the Hitter, and it looks like a baseball bat.
Oh, the one hit. I knew somebody in college that had one.
The grinder. Yeah, there's like the T-Hall Ski Boss collection.
That's pretty funny.
That's fantastic.
What else do they got? They have
you get a little torch. You can get your rolling papers,
rolling
grinder,
tips.
Your nug grinder.
Ooh, they have the GoPen Plus.
Ooh.
That is a very interesting little vaporizer. That's what it looks like. Yep, it's a vape.
Check it out, blackrockog.com. If you guys want to sponsor us, hey, skibumpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right.
We'll throw you some love. We love you. You love us. Everybody wins.
We're throwing you love now.
That's all we do, really, is throw a lot of love.
We throw a lot of love around here.
Yeah.
All right, so next we have...
That wraps up the old ski news for the week.
The time that is.
It is time for the topic.
So what are we talking about today, Bron?
Well, the name of this episode is It Over? And what we're talking about is the actual ski season, because this year on the East Coast where we're at, it's looking like it's pretty much over, even though it's trying to be cold and they're blowing snow in Maine.
It seems like it's near, if not at the end for me. I may still get out. I may have like a little burst of, I got to get out.
I want to believe that there's going to be a dumping next week and I'm going to get out.
There was a little dumping last week. They got about, 6 inches?
That's very optimistic.
5 inches?
I think 3 to 4 is probably more like it.
I heard 5. Well, Justin said there was about 5, I think.
Well, you know what Killington does.
They lie.
They lie.
There's tulips up there.
They're growing tulips.
Growing tulips.
So, yeah, so we're going to kind of recap this year and give you kind of some of the highlights, you know, things we talked about during the season, some of our highs, some of our lows, and, reminisce a bit on the season that was.
So starting it out, we always start out every season with
Ski Bum Week.
Ski Bum Week.
And, you know, with the podcast starting it last year, we got ourselves so fired up for Ski Bum Week. We were just, you know, we did all this research. We
epic
knew
Ski
all
Bum
this stuff
Week.
To do. It was going to be epic. And unfortunately, the weather did not really cooperate, and we had some pretty lousy conditions. But
no polar vortex and El Nino. That's what we got.
We got a lot of rubbish. But you know what? We made the best of it. We had a fun time. We went on some epic beer journeys. We got Hetty Topper and Sip of Sunshine. We discovered the amazingness that is Hill Farmstead. We went to Burlington. We had some amazing food and tons of crazy other beers.
Second Fiddle. We got
Second
Focal Banger.
Focal. Oh.
We had Farm to Table in Burlington with Hill Farmstead. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff to that.
We discovered a lot of cool stuff. We met a lot of really cool people. We went to Smuggler's Notch for the first time.
Yeah, that wasn't an ideal ski day, but we did get snow. It was almost a powder day.
We got a little bit of pow, that's very true, and there was only one run pretty much open, well, two.
Got to talk to a lot of local people, which was fun.
We forgot to get off a chairlift, which was kind of funny. And we did Hill Farmstead for our après ski.
Yeah, that was nice.
That was pretty sweet.
Well, it was funny when it was kind of a cold trip because everywhere we went, we had like a list of places to stop. To look for specific beers, like there's, you know, this beer in this area, let's go, there's Rock Art over here, there's, you know, so we kind of knew like what area would carry what beer, and while we were there, we're like, you know, kind of like a little scavenger hunt, you know, hey, can we find this beer? And while we were doing that, you know, we were chatting with some of the local people, and it was kind of neat to talk to some of the locals in different areas, and And just chill out. That was nice.
It was cool, too, seeing, you know, we're like, oh, we're trying to get Heady Top. They're like, ah, yeah, I get that everywhere here.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is what we drink here. You know, we're like this and this. And
they're like, oh, that's no big deal.
Yeah, no biggie. Just go to the store.
Got a PBR, you bastard.
PBR it up. So that was, you know, we made the best of it, and it was a good time. We, like I said, met some cool people, had some great food, tried some really cool new beers.
Kicked around Burlington. That's a fun little town.
It's a great town, yeah. So we did a lot of fun stuff. So that's how the season began for us, seeing as how we're mostly East Coast skiers. And the majority of our skiing was done in Killington this year. Probably, what, 90%?
Now, Ski Bum Week, one of the downs was that we missed the, because they canceled the ski demo dates.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, all right, crap. So that's when we changed our plans, went to Burlington. We come back from Ski Bum Week. I think it was the first or second week back. What do they have? Demo day going.
They had a demo day.
Boom.
Yeah.
And that was through one of the local ski shops. And it was nice. We got to try out a whole bunch of skis.
Yeah.
I think that's where you tried your Nordicas.
I tried my Nordica Enforcers, yeah. I tried the original, the 100s, but I ended up buying the 93s, untested, unseen, unskied upon.
And what year?
2017.
Boom.
Bought them from the future.
You bought the future skis.
The future, yeah, and they have been nothing but dynamite to me the rest of the season up there. Again, they're more of an East Coast skier, more an East Coast ski. They're not amazing in the powder, but again, there was no powder to be had this year on the East Coast, so they worked out amazingly.
I should have got carving skis this year. That would have worked out better.
Yeah, right. Seriously.
It actually would have been fun.
Ice skis.
And one of the highlights that we always talked about during the season, we had a lot of friends with our buddies, hung out the hot tub, met the same friend, you know, hung out with a bunch of friends that we had seen. And one of the guys that we just bonded with all year was probably mid-60-year-old George, the bus driver that drove us to and from the mountain every day. What an awesome dude.
George is one of my favorite people of all time.
On the planet.
And you know what? I think one of the things about him is he only worked, I think usually maybe Friday, but definitely Saturday.
Saturday.
And we'd...
I got the ham in the oven.
We would only be with him for what, maybe 3 minutes?
Yeah.
You know, from the time we got on the bus to the time we got dropped off in the morning and then on the way back.
We did want to get him on the show. That would be great.
Yes. So we pretty much maybe got 5 to 6 minutes with him a week.
We should go back up to Killington just to have an hour with George.
We got to hunt him down. He's just a magical human being.
Podcast on the bus, riding around in buses with George.
Yeah. Ooh, right? Bus drivers in buses eating ham.
Skiers in buses
eating ham.
With George
eating ham.
That's right.
Yeah, you just get this wisdom from him. So this like this Boston wisdom.
He's like a second father to me.
To all of us.
Because his wisdom that he had.
Like a guru. Like
George,
a,
you like the Jets? Oh, no, you're killing me.
I hate the Jets.
But he was so nice about it. He said you could have a talk with him.
He wasn't, yeah, he wasn't a dick about it, but he was just, oh, he would just break people's balls and just, oh, he was wonderful.
New England through and through.
Oh, my God, to the core.
Yeah, nice guy, though.
I think he was saying, like, my family was the third trip on the Mayflower.
Yeah, that's right. I hope he hits the lottery tonight. How about that?
You know what? If anybody would win it, I'd love it to be him, yeah. I won the Powerball. He's like, fuck the bus. He might actually still ride it. He'll still drive the bus. I think
he'll pay someone to drive the bus for him while he sits in there and talks to everybody.
He's got a hot tub in the back. He's just hanging out in his hot tub.
Hanging out there eating a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But yeah, we had our fun. I mean, skiing conditions were... there was a few days that were, hey, I'm just sliding down the mountain. I can't steer at all because it's just a sheet of ice.
There was a few of those, yeah.
And that's kind of an East Coast carving day.
Yeah. We got some of those.
That's what we call a carving day.
We got some days where there was a lot of dirt.
I would love to get somebody that's only skied powder out west and bring them out for one of those days. They would have the wide eyes saying, "Oh my God, how do you do this? This is unskiable. You should shut the whole mountain down."
Yeah, it definitely toughens you up having to deal with that kind of crap. Yeah, there was a one day you just could barely.
Oh, I was so miserable.
Barely
that
even
day.
Dig in. Yeah,
and we wound up going the whole day. We went till what, half hour before a lift closed.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then I was like, I gotta start drinking because it's been miserable today.
Yeah, and that was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad.
But yeah, you know what? We soldiered through. We kept doing our thing, and we had our trip to Jackson Hole.
made it that much sweeter going to Jackson after after having such a mediocre crap season, and then going to Jackson was just like those first 2 days we were just like kids out playing in the snow. Just we killed ourselves the first 2 days, but it was fun.
Yeah, that was a thing of beauty. Just because we, you know, we again had such a lousy, crappy year and didn't really have any good snow to get there, and to have these trees and these bumps and all this snow, we just hit it.
There was no ice. It was all snow.
It was beautiful snow. Yep.
It was great.
Yeah.
Then we had our backcountry day, which we were looking forward to.
Tommy Moe.
And then we had it with Tommy Moe. Hung out with Tommy the whole day. He's a freaking great guy.
Very cool dude.
Love you, Tommy Moe. Go, Goldie.
That's right. Yeah, Goldie.
Yeah, Goldie. Get
Tommy Moe. Yeah, he was really cool. You know, gave us some, you know, showed us some great places in the backcountry. And again, too, that's where we kind of started getting into backcountry skiing now. And I know for me, that's something I really, really want to start getting more into. Because I loved it, just changed the whole like, you know, the way you look at skiing, you know, because a lot of times now it's take the lift up, bomb down as fast as you can, take the lift up, bomb down. You take everything in more.
You got to have your head about you too. You got to be more aware of where you're going, where you're gonna go, where's your lines gonna, you know, like because
big time.
It's you're in danger area versus being in a quote-unquote safer...
Everything's in a resort. Everything is lined up for you. This is the way you go. You get on here, you go up, you go down. Everything is kind of set for you. Well, this, it's more open-ended, and you can kind of choose your own adventure more.
Well, that's what I liked about Jackson Hole in general. Like, you can kill yourself at any point, and they'll let you, because they'll just put a little thing that says there's a cliff, because they don't know if you want to go over the 20-foot cliff or not, because some people can go over the 20-foot cliff, and they don't want to prevent you from doing that. It was kind of
welcome to Jackson Hole. You are allowed to die here.
Yeah. And I gotta say, that was probably one of the toughest mountains I've ever skied.
Yeah,
in terms of like physical ability and like beating on your body. So it was fun to do. It was exhausting, but it was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had good old Corbett's Couloir. We talked about it. We were trying to psych ourselves up for it. And then we actually had a good dose of reality before we went by watching a ton of YouTube video on people skiing Corbett's. Now, of course, you start with the TGR video where they have a little music in the back. These dudes are doing fucking bat flips and double flips off it and tandem going off. And you're like, this is freaking great. We're going to do this.
We'd totally do this.
And then you watch the GoPro home videos of people just breaking their ass down that mountain. And you're just like, okay, maybe that's not going to be it for me. So, and then when we got out there, they kept opening and closing it. So I think it would have been one of those things where we probably would have had to wait around for a while. And we were just like, we're not going to wait around.
Next time.
But we did find something today, which is pretty fucked up. So there's a video, and it's very interesting to watch. And it's called This Failed Corbett's Send Will Break Your Ankles. And it's about... these guys, you know, are telling a story about how their one buddy from Salt Lake City came out to Jackson to visit them and just do a little skiing. And he was all psyched up. His goal was to attain ski more to immortality by stomping an air into Corbett's Couloir. So they have the video of this dude. And I tell you what, man, everybody has the same reaction. It's just like, oh, my God. He goes off. He starts off pretty good, right, Brian?
Now, he didn't do the regular entrance.
Yeah.
He kind of launched off the cliff. So if you're at the top, it's skier's right. So where the entrance is, it's to the right of that.
Yeah, because the way it's shaped, it's kind of like, it's almost like L-shaped, where if you enter from skier's right, or skier's left?
Skier's left, yeah.
Skier's left. That's where you kind of come in. They have to make a hard
left
after the drop-in, but it's a smaller drop-in. Now, if you come straight off, that's probably – you go from like a 4 to 6 foot drop-in to like a 10 to 12-foot drop-in, right?
Probably maybe even more than that.
Maybe even more. So this guy launches full off of that. And I tell you what, I mean, you know, I was always joking around saying, look, if I knew I was going to die in like 2 weeks, I'd probably do the same thing. Be like, what do I got to lose? But I don't think this guy was planning to do that.
I don't think he's going to be dying anytime soon, not unless it is from his actions that he just took.
Yeah. So,
he just launches off, and you see him land and just double ejection, front flips over his gear. Like,
now he got his skis down, which is the other scary part. He got it down. It looked like he was going to land, and all of a sudden, just everything just went boof off of him, and he was flying down. So you could tell after he's probably a little messed up, and they actually say in the little write up with the video that he had a broken fibula, an extended vacation, and a dent to his pride. So all in all, he was alive, you know. But they actually said he was they were pretty sure when he landed that something was broken, but he was too proud to go out in a burrito.
That's what's crazy.
You know, the little the sled. So he one-legged from the bottom down to the Marmot, up to the Marmot, down to the Gandhi, and then he went to the hospital. I was like, damn, that's even...
That's pretty gangster.
That's pretty gangster, too, so...
Damn.
Hey, you know, I tip my hat to you, Tony.
Here's to you, Tony. Now, not to be a dick, but the fibula is not the femur.
Yeah, that's true.
If it was the femur, that'd be one thing.
There are people that have broken femur. Oh, man, that's...
No, if you break your femur, you do nothing.
Hockey players, there's a few that have broken femur, right?
I don't think so. Not and done anything afterwards besides lay there and cry.
Well, there's football players broke the femur.
Yeah, but if you break your femur, you can't do anything. It's supposed to be the most painful thing that can happen to you.
Oh, my leg! I can't feel my leg!
Yeah.
It's a little Rambo action right there. I can't feel my leg. Yeah, he looked like he broke his femur, fibula, every part of his lower body he looked like he broke when he landed.
Medulla oblongata.
His medulla. He broke his medulla oblongata. He hit so hard he broke his medulla oblongata.
Yeah, that was a pretty rough one. So I just posted that on Facebook and Twitter, but we'll put it in the show notes too so you can check it out. It's pretty gnarly, but it's also pretty goddamn funny.
It was pretty funny. It's pretty funny because it wasn't anybody you know.
Yeah, it wasn't you, so it's kind of funny.
And he was all right. I like when they preface it, but he's okay. I'm like, okay, cool. I can watch this.
He lived to tell the tale.
Exactly.
You know?
If he didn't, I'd be like, I can't watch this.
So, yeah. So, we're pretty much wrapping up on this season. And this is what we're giving as the official song/sound for the East Coast ski season.
Aww. Yeah. We did have a little bit of a good... week last time. Was it last week or the week before? Outer Limits was pretty nice.
Yeah, Outer Limits was nice. They had a lot of... they kept it closed during the week, so it was able to retain a lot of the snow, didn't get pushed around too much.
They
blew a lot on it because they want to get the Mogul Challenge, get it ready for that. So it wasn't too bad.
It's softened up nice. The only problem with it is you got to wait till like noonish till it softens up because everything was a solid piece of ice.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to wait for it to bump up a little, and then it was pretty cool. I got to see. This weekend's the Mogul Challenge. I'm not going to make it.
Yeah, neither will I.
So,
shout out to all of our peeps that are going to be up there. Have a good time. Have fun.
Yeah.
Be silly. Post pictures. Let us know what's up.
And that's usually the end of the season for us anyway, so it's kind of calling it a little bit early, but...
Well, Whistler will be open until the end of May, so if we get our sponsorships
or shoot out there,
a little bit of lottery love, then we may make that happen.
Then again, it might not be the end of the season. Valle Navarro or... Portillo.
Oh.
I mean, you know.
There's always hope.
Argentina, Chile. We'll go anywhere.
Bariloche. These things could happen.
They could happen.
Yep.
And then we'll extend. Then there's no break. Then it's kind of just a little break for the beginning half of summer and the end half of summer, but like skiing in the middle.
As the Beastie Boys said, no sleep till Brooklyn. That's how we do it.
That's how we do it.
So, yeah, so that about, we're kind of looking like this could be the wrap up of the season, but never fear, friends. There will still be podcastery all throughout the spring and summer, as you know, like we did last year. We're just getting fired up now. Now we have time to plan the podcast, to get it ready, and to record it. During the ski season, we had to kind of like, you know, cram it together, hustle, and just shove it in there.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have time to cultivate. We just had to pick. We had to just pick, you know, pick whatever's growing.
Exactly.
Now we can cultivate.
Yeah, I like this summer because, like you said, we got a little more time. It's a little, you know, we're dreaming, and I'm making my plans. I will start making, like, season's going to end. I'm already making my plans for next season.
That's all you can do.
Got to get my season pass. When's the deadline for that? houses, what are we doing? Starts all over again.
Summer blasts by really quickly.
It's a circle of life.
It
you
is.
Know,
it
ends and then you start planning and then it starts in
ebb and flow.
Once you're in it, you just, it's like
it's
everything's
there.
A rush.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we got the time to plan and ponder and think and take a step back. So we're going to be doing that and we'll be talking about that on the podcasts that are up and coming. So don't you worry. We got your back. Got ski love all summer long.
Ski love.
All right, so be sure to check us out at SkiBumPodcast.com. Go to Twitter. Find us there, twitter.com/SkiBumPodcast. Facebook, facebook.com/SkiBumPodcast. Instagram, instagram.com/SkiBumPodcast. And if you could, please go to iTunes, subscribe, and rate us 5 stars, if you will. We need the ratings. We got to start pushing things for year number 2. We got to push it. We got to push it hard. And we need those ratings, so if you could, please do that. And now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's time.
It's time for Around the Horn.
It's that time we look forward to every week, just to spout a bunch of shit at everybody.
It is. And, you know, having a little break the last couple of weeks, we accumulated a lot of crazy stories that we wanted to talk about. So we whittled it down, give you guys just the top shelf. The Ben and Jerry's of ice creams, pretty much.
Top shelf or upper deck, whichever way.
Top shelf, upper decker.
Whichever way you want to go with that.
And yes, I mention Ben and Jerry's because vanilla ice cream fans, hold on to your butts because we are in a massive vanilla shortage.
What?
Did you know that?
Who, what?
Why is nobody reporting on this on like CNN or Fox News?
What?
They're showing Trump and Cruz and Sanders and Clinton.
Yeah, yeah.
What about goddamn vanilla?
Okay.
This is way more important. The nectar of the gods that is ice cream is about to get a hell of a lot more expensive. You know why? Because vanilla is skyrocketing in price.
Wow.
It has surged 150% in the last year because Madagascar, the number one producer of vanilla, had a lousy harvest.
They also have all the penguins.
According to that said movie, yes, they do. So, do you know that vanilla was the second most expensive spice in the world following saffron?
I had no idea. I didn't think it was that. Saffron's that weird-ass thing you get. It's like a tiny little bit in a jar.
It's like almost
17, 18 bucks. It's crazy.
If you took, you know, your cable, your Ethernet cable, and you cut it up, and the copper fibers, took a few of those. That's kind of what the saffron looks like.
Yeah.
If you're making paella, that's what you use to get a yellow.
That's actually one of the middle of a, what is it, a...
daffodil.
It's not a daffodil. It's a...
Poppy plant?
Not a tulip. It's a... it's another. It's part of the plant. It's the middle part of that plant. But
the saffronifa plant?
No.
No.
It's a type of this 20 questions. But I thought vanilla was not that expensive.
I didn't realize it either. It's one of those things you take for granted until the time comes, and then you realize that, we better take care of this.
That is some crazy shit.
It is derived from the dried stigmas of the purple saffron crocus.
Which is a type of commonly known as?
A saffron crocus. Culpepper. Dried stigma. Saffron. It's like the $1,000 pyramid.
Yeah, anyway. I thought vanilla was more...
We don't pay you to think.
I thought vanilla was not that expensive.
Apparently it is.
You got vanilla everywhere. But they put vanilla in everything. That's the problem.
They do. Usually it's the cheap imitation vanilla, though. And there was a whole other story I had bookmarked a couple weeks ago that we never got to, where it talked about why is vanilla, which is usually, I think, between like 20 and 40% alcohol, sold in grocery stores and does not require being sold at a liquor store.
Yeah.
And there's some sort of story behind it and loophole that was created in the 20s or the teens or something, which is why you can go to the grocery store and buy it and not have to go to a liquor store.
Huh. So you just get hammered on by go to Costco and buy that?
We might just do that one episode.
Yeah.
Just do shots of vanilla extract.
To celebrate the shortage.
We should.
Non-imitation real.
To show how highfalutin we are. We can just drink exotic vanilla extract like it's going out of style.
So saffron's a type of iris.
Iris.
That's what I couldn't. That was on the tip of my tongue.
There you go.
But anyway.
You see, you can learn things on this podcast, right?
You learn things about the earth all the time. The earth. So how much do you think a gallon of ice cream is going to go up? Like double? It's going to be like the gas crisis. People are going to be waiting in line for ice cream.
People are still going to be fat as hell.
Be sitting there with your big scoop, your big ice cream spade, waiting to eat your ice cream, waiting online, just like a big line just for ice cream. Ice cream only over here.
Pretty much, yeah.
Damn. But they use that in making like chocolate and pastries and all that shit.
It's using a lot of really tasty stuff, so.
A lot of big people are going to be upset. Let's put it that way.
Maybe like CrossFit companies are sabotaging the vanilla plants to get people to lose weight so they can go do CrossFit.
Part of the National Healthcare Initiative.
Michelle Obama. Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Michelle Obama.
That's right.
She's the one doing it.
That's it. We got to eliminate the sweet and the bad stuff from people's diets. Let's make vanilla go up.
She's jacking the vanilla plants.
Oh, that's how you do it. It's either awesome. That or next is going to be milk. You watch. No ice cream for, no cream for ice cream.
It's terrible.
Terrible. It's terrible.
I think ice cream would be like crack. People are like, yo, man, you got any chubby hubby? any rocky road?
Man, you got a chocolate eclair in there somewhere. You
man,
got a little...
I will suck your chubby hubby.
You got a strawberry shortcake, I will suck you. I used to love the strawberry shortcake.
You got
shortcake.
Any cherry Garcia, man?
almond, what's the toasted almonds?
Oh, yeah, the pops.
God damn it.
Those were good, yeah.
I'm not a big ice cream guy, but I will eat the shit out of those.
I fucking love ice cream.
You can eat ice. You God have seen eat ice cream like
damn
a mofo.
Oh.
I have the fake ice cream in the freezer. It's that. It's the whey protein ice cream.
Oh, yeah, it's like ripped ice cream.
Yeah, we had it one time. It wasn't bad. They actually say you can have it after like a workout.
Beefcake 4000 ice cream.
Beefcake! Beefcake! Well, now you can't get vanilla, so you might as well eat the beefcake.
Beefcake ice cream. Yeah.
It's all fake stuff anyway.
Right.
All right, next story. It's not a cheery story at all. It's actually interesting. Interesting because I think maybe this guy is indestructible. So after the Brussels airport attack, it came out that there was a kid from Utah who this is his second major attack of his life. Talk about like getting hit by lightning or something like that. This guy's just had some crazy shit luck, but I guess good luck in a way because he survived. So he was actually in the Boston Marathon bombing where he was watching his mother run and the bomb went off, and I think he got injured in that. And then he was in the Belgium airport, and they said he was only if not too far. They said, I don't know. This story, I think, said he was like less than 10 feet away from where the bomb went off. In the airport, and he got thrown and injured, head gas, shrapnel, severe burns, surgery scar. So Achilles tendon was ripped. I mean, like he got pretty injured from the bomb, but he didn't die. They said he was, I think the article said he was like less than 5 feet away. And I'm like, holy crap, he didn't die. So that's great, you know, but, I tell you what, that's in one way it's crap luck. In the other way, it's like nine lives or something.
Yeah, and we were looking at that too. So he was from Utah. So he was, if you're going to bet on what religion you are from Utah, yes, you're correct. He was a Mormon. He was there with someone who was having a missionary assignment in Cleveland.
Cleveland? And they were just going through?
Yeah, there was a French person there. She was on her way to a missionary assignment in Cleveland.
Oh.
And the woman had passed through security to a different part of the airport at the time of the explosion.
Oh, and he was going to meet her or something?
Yeah.
They said he was trying to get into the Naval Academy, which hopefully they'll take him in because I'm sure he's got a... I think he's got a lot of payback to give some people.
He's got a grudge, yeah.
Got a grudge. But,
yeah, right.
No, I wish him well. I wish his family well. That's I tell you, that's got to be scary as crap. You know, here he is, you know, to be caught in the Boston bombing. And then, you know your kid is in Brussels, passing mm-hmm. through Brussels. Like, what the hell? And, like, you know, what are the chances? But lucky he's alive. It's Americans. We're indestructible.
Something like that, yes.
You're going to find out he's a superhero soon.
Yeah, right. It's possible.
But yeah, glad he's all right. I mean, what a horrible thing. Two horrible things, but a good story out of it. I mean, here he is. He's still around. But what luck. It's kind of like, it's weird. Like, those people that get struck by lightning like 7 times, like, how do you get struck once?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, weird.
Yeah, so that was kind of a downer story, but it's awesome that he survived both these attacks. And now we're going to a kind of ridiculous but pretty awesome story.
Went from the Naval Academy, too.
The Migaloo Submersible Yacht.
A what?
Migaloo, which is the brand, they have a submersible yacht. So normally your yacht doesn't go underwater. Yeah, usually if it does, it's a problem. But this Migaloo Submersive Yacht, that's how it's made.
You got to look at the pictures of this thing. It's freaking awesome.
It's a watercraft which combines the luxury of a yacht with the underwater capabilities of a U.S. Navy submarine. It comes in 5 models, ranging in size from the 72-meter M2 to the massive city-like 283-meter M7.
It looks like fucking Hunt for Red October with a pool.
It looks like... That's exactly right.
It's crazy.
It's got a pool up top. Which we're trying to figure out too.
Shit.
So does the pool get covered when it submerges, or does it just fill up with ocean water?
I don't know. Those hatches on the side probably cover up, and it probably looks just like a submarine when it goes under. And I bet you they cover that with something. There's probably some kind of cover that goes over it.
So this company also makes private floating habitats. So you can have one of these floating habitats that you cruise to and park your submarine.
They have one of the pictures. If you scroll through the pictures,
the next one, yeah.
Yeah. They have that habitat.
Oh, my God. It's so...
It's like your own private floating island / oil drilling offshore rig.
As Daniel Tosh once famously said in his stand-up special, money doesn't buy happiness. That statement should end with just kidding. Because I'd be pretty goddamn happy with one of these boats and a floating private habitat.
So these are artist renderings. And the funniest thing that... That gets to me about this is, why do they put a shark
the
next
shark.
To it?
The shark!
Is that for size, depth perception? Like, why put a shark in there?
Look what a little bitch the shark is compared to your pool.
Yeah. The shark is barely bigger than the freaking dinghy on this thing.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You scratched my anchor.
Stupid shark.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
This is pretty awesome.
You definitely got to see the pictures. 283 meters
Could
is...
Could you imagine? What's that? That's almost 900 feet?
Is, let's see, meters to feet.
So it's pretty much 3 football fields, roughly.
Yes.
Roughly 3 football fields, the size of this thing. That is insane.
So it's about, holy shit, 200 meters is 656 feet. Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
That's a lot of feet.
That's two and a little bit more football fields. So, like 2.5 football fields
mm-hmm.
is what? The 230, whatever.
283.
283.
It's almost 3, right?
283. Roughly? 928 feet divided by 3. So, it's 3, a little bit over 3.
It's over 3.
Over 3 football fields.
God damn.
That's crazy, dude.
That's ridiculous.
Think of how long a football... Like, you can't even run that. Like if you want to run from one end of that...
Be exhausted.
That submarine.
You need a nap.
That's right. You're talking, like, 4 water breaks at least. 4 water breaks, a phone call for somebody to come get the... you probably got to have one of those little foot things.
The hoverboard?
The hoverboards.
Yeah, to get you there.
Probably have a chauffeur drive you from one end to the other.
Yeah, so if anybody has one and wants to take us for a tour, we are always up and ready. SkiBombPodcast@gmail.com.
That's amazing.
Hit us up. All right.
Next we got Brazil is going through a drought right now. And there's a story that we found on Vice News that talks about what does it mean for coffee lovers around the world. So Brazil's drought, coffee lovers, where does it go from there? So they're saying it's been difficult for the last couple of years, but the coffee crops look like they're going to look up, at least temporarily, following the drought. So,
well, here's one crazy stat that I didn't realize. Brazil is responsible for 30% of the world's coffee.
Wow. That's
I had no idea it was that much.
That and vanilla. You have vanilla. You can't even have your coffee-flavored vanilla ice cream now.
They don't grow vanilla in Brazil. Mexico, no,
but there's a shortage. Can you imagine if there's a shortage of both? You're screwed.
It's just pretty much end yourself at
you
that
can't
point.
Have a coffee cake, a mocha cake. You're done.
You can't have a whole lot of nothing.
You can't have a cake or the coffee go with the cake.
But what is imitation vanilla then?
The Dow Chemical Company created it as the smell for Agent Orange.
Imitation. All right. Sorry to interrupt. You can go. All
right. So the basic price dynamic, cost of consumers drop as supply increases, works for coffee on a large scale. So they're actually saying what's going to happen is because the crops are coming in really good, it's going to be good for prices are going to go down. It's going to be more good coffee around. So they're going to grow better coffee and more of it.
So we're down on vanilla, but we're up on coffee.
That's right. Go long on vanilla. Well, short vanilla, go long on coffee.
Frozen concentrated orange juice. That's all that matters.
Blue Horseshoe says go long on coffee. but it's also, the other thing they're talking about in this article is like the growing season just getting so effed up with the change in climate so much, as we've seen here with skiing. It's happening. If you're a farmer, you're freaking out because like these changes really make a big difference. I know people that were having, they were getting their plants to put outside, like just even up here because it was like hitting 70 degrees. Now we're almost at freeze warnings. So they're like, holy crap, all the stuff I planted is going to just freeze and die. So think about if that was your livelihood and you're a farmer, it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's crazy. We're going to have to, either try to change our consumption or adjust to the craziness that we're going to experience all the time. So one way or another.
Yeah, so it's really weird. They're expected, even in a drought, to have an unusually large production because of it's a strange, reverse effect on them.
Yeah.
They're immune to climate change. No.
So at least we'll have coffee for a little bit, which is good because we are big fans here.
Can't have your cake. Might as well have your coffee.
It's true, right? So next up, this one's from a couple weeks ago.
Can't have yellow cake.
Yellow cake.
Yeah.
So this is a nice, interesting, fun, weird story. Microsoft deletes quote-unquote teen girl AI after it becomes a Hitler-loving sex robot within 24 hours.
24 hours. Congratulations, people.
You've done well, human beings. You're doing a great job. So Microsoft put out this Twitter handle, and it was at TayandYou, TayandYou. So they created this AI model, which is supposed to speak like a teen girl.
Artificial intelligence for
artificial
the layman.
Intelligence for the layperson.
Layperson.
And what it would do is it would be kind of, awkward at first, and it would learn based on how people communicated with it. So it took, I think, only 24 hours for human beings and the internet to just completely destroy this thing.
Damn.
So here's one of the tweets that ended up being posted before Microsoft decided to just lock it and stop the whole program. It said, whoever tweeted at, F my robot P, daddy, I'm such a bad, naughty robot.
Damn.
And other things she said was Bush did 9/11 and Hitler would have done a better job than the monkey we have got now. Donald Trump is the only hope we've got. Repeat after me. Hitler did nothing wrong. And Ted Cruz is the Cuban Hitler. That's what I've heard so many others say.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. And I don't know if we've talked about it in the past, but Elon Musk has come out several times talking about how AI is dangerous and we should really slow down how fast we're developing it because it's going to be created by humans, which means it's going to take on the worst that humans are able to create, provide.
Potentially. It depends. Like, you put anything on the internet, you're going to get dicks, right? You put a Twitter handle, people are like, ha-ha, you're an asshole. Like, you're always going to get that. And they don't know to discern that, so it's kind of...
Yeah, it's just absorbing the majority. And on the internet, most people are assholes. So if that's what you're going to pull in, yeah.
They don't take it serious, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know what this reminds me of? Remember the Hitchbot? I just looked it up.
Poor goddamn little Hitchbot.
Poor little Hitchbot.
We loved Hitchbot.
If you want to go back, we'll take a little way back to podcast number 21.
Thanks, Philly.
To number 21, Screening is Believing. And let's talk about the little Hitchbot who was hiking, and they just put him out there, and he would tell people, please, I'm hiking. Can you take me somewhere? I'm hitchhiking across the thing. And
he got he went all the way across Canada.
No problem, Canada.
Across Europe, no problem.
Starts in New York, goes, hits Philly. Thanks, Philly.
Goddamn Philly.
Found him jacked. He got jacked, beat up, left in the gutter.
Destroyed.
That's what they did to emotionally to this little poor AI.
Yep.
Poor AI kids on the thing, and people are like, hey, Hitler, and hey, let's F, and let's do this and that.
And that's what's going to happen. So I think it took less than 24 hours.
Oh, so horrible.
Microsoft to pull it off.
So people watch too much porn and they're filthy.
Yeah.
It's like Time Magazine has an article this week about how the younger generation is actually fighting to try to get some porn off the internet because they say it's gotten out of control. And while, you know, it's enjoyable to watch once in a while, it is out of control. And think about younger and younger kids, and people are just getting desensitized to it all. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, just because people don't like it doesn't mean it shouldn't be the reason why it gets taken off.
Exactly.
But it's almost, it's with a lot of things. You know, if education is the most important thing. If people just talk about it and realize, you know, it's not really cool. It's not a turn on. It changes the whole vernacular. People aren't going to be as interested in it, you know?
Yeah. There's another company that has...
it all goes in cycles, though, it seems like, you know?
Well, there's another company that has an artificial intelligence, and it's this whole thing. I read an article on it, and it's this artificial intelligence person. It's another woman that they created in, like, a humanoid-like body.
Mm-hmm.
And the reporter that was going out to do the article, you know, the story on it, they had limited time to talk to the AI. And, you know, it was very secretive, very secluded. They make some public appearances, and they kind of handle, like, who gets to interact with the AI.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I thought that was like, okay, that's a little weird. And, you know, they were kind of trying to figure out, is it because they don't want to, you know, unveil that they have problems with the AI or something. And it was kind of exactly to this point. They explained that, like, every stimulus that they're in contact with affects them so much, you could really F up the AI. So all these years of work that they put into it could go to crap with, like, a few bad experiences or a string of them in a row, because it's learning just like it learned all the other stuff that's important. It's learning all this ridiculous stuff at the same rate.
Well, think about a human being, too. You know, you could have a great family who are very supportive, very loving, and you have one or two really bad, you know, bully or whatever experiences in high school, and that can really fuck you up.
Yeah.
I mean, that can really take you off of a great path and just mess with your emotions, with your confidence, with your psyche,
yeah,
and take you down a very dark place. It's known to happen. I mean, think about some of the worst memories you've had. It could be the most insignificant thing to somebody else, but to you, it was traumatic.
Yeah.
You know, and that stuff, it really does affect you. And if the AI is that, you know, that or more adaptable, you could really do a lot of damage to it really quick, which is exactly what this you know, story talks about.
Yeah. Well, think about it, too. Like, as an AI, you're all cerebral. You have no physical presence. You don't have body language or feeling or emotions or anything. Like, you don't necessarily have that same... You know, you don't have body chemistry going on. You have just thinking about, like, it's different.
There's less of the there's less soft or the context really around a lot of stuff.
Right. So mm-hmm. some
just
of the
data,
stuff,
pretty much.
Right. So some of the stuff that might affect you if you're so cerebral wouldn't affect you as bad if you mm-hmm. have the whole physical presence, which I think is.
You got to watch that Ex Machina. That's what it goes into a lot.
It's crazy, man.
That's a weird movie. It was weird but really good and
yeah,
thought provoking and scary at the same time. Yeah.
You know, some dude that just finished playing World of Warcraft is on there just fucking around with this thing. Like, why do you put it on Twitter and kick? Like, really?
Now, there are positives, weird, too, to AI and technology and virtual reality. Can you view your text I just sent you? I just want to see your response when you pop this up.
Oh, let's see this.
So yeah, so this poor robot or this poor AI, Tay and you, she's offline now, but I'm sure she'll be back on, hopefully re-engineered and a little upgraded firmware.
There are positive things
that will be happening.
But you know, you could cure cancer, you could send a guy to Mars, you could populate another solar system, and people will spend their time
VR porn
and like creating, like, that's exactly what they will do. This is the craziest thing. Yes, depraved intellect, you have it right.
Nailed it.
God damn. That's what people will spend their time doing. We'll be like idiots. The whole species will go to hell in a handbasket because we're all sitting around doing that.
Well, think about how easy it is to get food and drinks and water and shelter now. 200 years ago, those were all super rare commodities.
Think of how lazy some people are that they won't leave their freaking house and go get it. They have it delivered to their
house. Yeah, because it's so easy and so abundant now. So, you know, part of me goes, well, you know, we're all kind of getting soft, we're getting weak, something's going to happen, and it's all going to turn and go the other direction. Or does it keep going on the same path where everything gets even easier, like a Wall-E kind of future?
Wall-E. We'll be fat with the
We'll low... all be giant fat with these virtual reality fuck
with
toys.
With the big gulp next to us.
We'll just have like...
big chairs.
We'll be having like Scarlett Johansson clone foursomes with while we're eating pizza and nachos and sodas. And that's just going to be our reality.
That's such a sexy image I have in my head.
And then we're just going to... We're going to look shredded. We're going to look like Michael Phelps or Sage Northcutt or some shredded, ripped dude.
I think you got to like, that's what it's good about film and video. It's to bring that back from the past and say, look how fucking lazy and useless you people have become.
Yeah, we'll all be plugged into the Matrix, but we'll all be thinking we're this jacked, ripped, shredded dude making love to the Scarlett Johansson foursome clone.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's a little bit scary. It's a little bit deep. We're getting a little heavy here.
It's kind of the difference between hiking up the mountain and skiing versus taking a lift.
Oh, wow. That's a beautiful metaphor.
Right?
I like that. You
gotta that's earn how it progressed. Like you got to
earn your turns.
Earn your turns.
Yeah. It makes it more valuable because you've had to do something to get it.
So that's like I watched that Everest movie. It was fucked up, man. These people just suffering.
Yeah.
Earn it.
You got to earn it. Earn it, son.
Earn your turns.
Yep. All right. What do you got next?
Speaking of turns, so there's a story about free riding bottomless trails in the heart of the Alps. So single track, Switzerland Verbier. So they have a bunch of video and they talk about like what they do with the Alps in the summer is they've actually started setting up all these downhill...
I'm sorry. I like watching videos of sheep.
He's got a sheep fetish. He's watching those hairy sheep that go, they hide, and they don't get sheared.
Inflatable sheep.
The big, gigantic sheep.
When the snow is no mo.
But yeah, this fits because Switzerland is where those unsheared sheep, remember the record-breaking sheep were?
I don't want to talk about it.
The baby's got a secret.
So anyway, so they were showing some of the trails and stuff. It looks pretty cool. It's like extreme big mountain, downhill mountain biking.
That's good stuff. So badass.
Yeah. They're doing this a lot in some of the ski areas around. I know Killington does it. Everywhere around is putting these in.
Whistler's got great mountain biking. Yeah. That's becoming a big thing now with the ski areas is the mountain biking. And you know, there really isn't that much extra required for the mountains to do it.
No, which it's actually kind of good because they're cutting new trails and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so for skiing, it's get covered with snow. Now they got these cool-ass trails, too.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
So, nice.
All right, and last but not least, this story was pretty entertaining. This was from our pals over at munchies.vice.com, and it was the story of... Well, the article is called, I've Witnessed Some Horrifying Things as a Ski Resort Bartender. And it's from a 22-year-old bartender from La Grotte d'Uieti, the most popular après-ski bar in France. And just talks about, you know, the experience and just how people just hit it so hard in Europe. I mean, we always, you know, we talked about après-ski and how different it is in Europe versus the U.S. And this is...
They say it's juicier than a TV show like the Jersey Shore.
Ooh, yeah. And it's just funny, some of the way they describe just the little things. It says, I work 6 days a week, 10 hours a day in a bar that smells like beer, vomit, and stinky armpits. But, you know, I think it's a female, right? Based on the... Did you read the whole thing?
No, I
think it's a female, but she talks about she sleeps in. You know, she hits, you know, boards for a couple hours, then goes to work. And then she works till, you know, works and parties till 3 a.m. And, you know, people are just hooking up with each other. If you're drunk, you have to get sent home. And one of the highlights here, you know, they just talk about how, you know, Americans tend to be a little ridiculous. This one talked about how fraternities, there was a fraternity from Amsterdam that came and how they were a disaster, not the typical Americans causing trouble. And but one of the funniest things it talks about how Jaeger bombs are selling crazy this year because one of the bartenders found a way to drop the shot into the glass with Red Bull using only his penis. He makes a row of 10 shots, and by knocking one over, all the other ones topple over into their glasses like dominoes. Once he does that, all the guys in the bar want to try it, and they show the crowd how manly they are. Of course, as a result, I'm seeing a lot of small dicks.
Nice. Everybody's taking out their 2-inch killer to show
some. Oh.
Show them knocking down some glasses.
I mean, it's cold out. You know, you just were skiing.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And just all the hookups and the drinking. And
as she's saying, these days a staff member sleeps with a customer only once or twice a week. It usually happens after the shift is done, but sometimes we have sex at the bar.
Yeah. Manager's cool with it. It's all right.
Yeah. So he's laid back. So long as he thinks it's funny, it's all good.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. So if you want to party and you don't have anything tying you down, you might want to go and be a bartender in a ski town. You can have a really good time and have some great stories.
Yeah.
That's the moral of that story.
If you can live through it, that's the thing.
If you survive, yeah.
If you survive. As a patron, usually it's pretty bad, but as a bartender, seeing that every night.
It's got to get really old really quick.
Yeah, and your liver takes a beating.
And as you get older, you get more jaded and bitter, and you really can't deal with that anymore. You have to be in your early 20s to be able to tolerate that.
Yeah. And hopefully if you... Well, yeah. Yeah. Just leave it at that.
Yeah. So you got anything else for the week, or is that going to... We're going to wrap it up.
Now I'm going to wrap it up. What do you got going on this weekend? I got Beer Fest this weekend.
You got Beer Fest.
Beer Fest in Atlantic City.
I got Chill Fest this week, so yeah.
Chill Fest. Gonna hang out with our buddy Harry.
Harry.
Maybe Steve.
Yeah.
See Captain Lawrence people, my peeps.
I'm definitely gonna be there, guys, so I can't wait to go to the Beer Fest with you.
So we're gonna do Beer and Food Fest, so it should be good. And cool. Eat and drink a lot, which, you know, I probably shouldn't be doing, but I'm gonna do it Friday.
Nice.
And then hang out. Play a little blackjack.
The Jack is black.
Jack is black. I might come back. Jack is back.
Filthy Rich.
Filthy Rich or just filthy. Filthy Rich or just filthy.
All right. So that's going to wrap it up for the week. So, yeah, we're going to get back on our schedule again. We'll be posting like normal, which is good. And, you know, we'll be thinking about new topics and new fun things to talk about. But for now, hit us up, skibumpodcast.com, twitter.com/skibumpodcast, facebook.com/skibumpodcast. And Instagram.com/SkiBum Podcast. And as I said before, please go onto iTunes or Stitcher and subscribe and rate us. We could really use the help because we're taking this, our plan, to the next level next winter. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you soon.
Stay high, stay flutin'.
Bye.